Welcome to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is your host, Amos Medford. Thanks for tuning in today. We're glad to be joined today on the podcast by a couple of West Virginia boys. We've got RJ with 304 Outdoors, as well as Justin with Stubby's Outdoors. And we had an awesome conversation. Good talk with those guys, real good guys, and having some fun hunting up there in the mountains. So they made a trip over to Ohio a week or so ago. So definitely follow along with what they have going on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube especially. Definitely check them out on YouTube and subscribe. 304 Outdoors and Stubby's Outdoors. It's some good stuff, some nice guys. So y'all sit back and enjoy this one as I'm joined with RJ and Justin today. And we appreciate you tuning in. Let's jump in. Awesome. I'm glad to be joined today on the Wannabe Hunting Podcast by RJ with 304 Outdoors and Justin with Stubby Outdoors. They're up in West Virginia. And guys, I appreciate y'all coming on today. How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good.
Y'all taking any shots this season so far? Any connections out in the woods?
I've tagged out on a doe second day, and then I've been holding out chasing a big 9-pointer here in West Virginia. And then Stubby, you tagged out on a doe and a nice 8-pointer here about, what, a week ago?
Yeah,
that video's up on his YouTube channel. I've got a doe hunt on my YouTube channel. And then we've slowly been getting closer and closer to killing this 9-pointer. He's been breaking daylight a few more times.
That's cool. That's awesome. I'll definitely have to check out those videos. You know, the videoing thing, like, I can only imagine that's a challenge. It's something that I've kind of like, I guess you might call it dabbled in, but, you know, it's already pretty challenging to kill a deer, at least if you ask me. So, you know, carrying in the video equipment and getting that done is pretty awesome.
It's a lot of work, that's for sure. Yeah. But once you do it and you get it all on film, it's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, the cell film is what makes it. It's a lot easier when you got a guy to come help record for you and video for you. We both have been cell filming in the beginning of the year, and finally, when we joined up and decided to hunt Ohio together, we started filming for each other. So we've captured some pretty good content out there. So far, the deer kind of been kicking our butt on the Ohio public land, but we've got some good footage. We've seen a couple good bucks, so we're going to have some Ohio videos coming out here soon.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I can imagine. It's definitely nice having somebody helping you out there. But let's rewind a little bit, and I guess y'all can take turns or whatever, but how did y'all get into, you know, this whole hunting thing?
Okay, well, I'm currently 21, so I've been hunting for, this is probably my 7th or 8th year hunting. I started hunting when I was 14 with my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad was a real big hunter. He has a passion for it. He's traveled around hunting whitetail and elk and stuff. So I got into it with him. And then I've always had a love for it from a young age, but you know what it's like being a teenager. You know, you run around, you got sports and stuff. So I kind of got away from it for a couple of years. I'd still gun hunt every once in a while, but I wasn't taking it as serious. And then I just got done playing college football, so got back into hunting a lot more, so I decided I'd start filming it. And like I said, I've always had a love and a passion for it, and I love hunting here in the great state of West Virginia, so I decided I would create a channel and kind of try to get publicity for hunting in West Virginia. I'm a big deer hunter, big turkey hunter, mm-hmm. my favorite thing. So really it all started here in West Virginia, so I like to try and keep it here and keep representing this great state and keep my passion going for hunting for years and years to come.
That's awesome. What about you, Justin?
Well, I started off at the age of 5 years old with my grandpa and my uncles and just about any family member that was around at the time taking me out in the woods. I think I killed my first squirrel when I was 8, my first deer when I was 10, and it was actually a big 8-point. And from there on, I've been hooked ever since. I've been in the outdoors my entire life. I've tried to bring my family up in the outdoors, and just like my family did, it's basically been a family tradition. And my passion for the outdoors is way up there. I mean, I, like I said, started off as a kid, and then I just lost a lot of family members over the years, and they kind of faded off, and that's what got me into self-filming and stuff like that, so I can kind of share my adventures with everybody else.
Yeah, that's really cool, and that's awesome to be able to share it with the family. You know, I actually didn't grow up hunting. I think I killed my first deer. I think it's been about 5 years, and I was 27. So I'm kind of behind the game as far as, you know, going hunting since I was a little kid or even a teenager. But it's always been interesting to me. And I think that's pretty cool to keep the family tradition going, because I'm thinking of it as, you know, starting a family tradition. You know, my son's less than a year old, but I'm already looking forward to, you know, taking him hunting and you know, keeping the family involved. So that's really cool to hear that you know, y'all both started hunting with family and are keeping it going.
Well, I've always told people, too, you said you killed your first deer at 27. I think a lot of people kind of shy away from it when they get up in their 20s, thinking that they haven't already started hunting, that they're never going to get into it or learn nothing. But I always tell people it's never too late to start hunting. And when you go that first time, whether it's squirrel hunting, turkey hunting, deer hunting, no matter what it is, you go that first time, you're going to be hooked on it.
Yeah, exactly. I know, that's how I am. You know, I shot a doe back a few years, and you know, it was just awesome. Then I was able to get a really nice turkey down here. And, you know, so it's pretty cool. And then just this past couple weeks ago, killed my first buck. So I'm on cloud nine.
I bet. The first one's always the best one.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy how, you know, just how rewarding it can be. So that's awesome. Now, you said the first one is, you know, most rewarding. Do y'all have like a favorite hunting story, whether it's the first buck or biggest buck, or just a, you know, a favorite experience, even if it's turkey hunting or something like that?
Oh man, I got a couple of them I could talk about.
Okay, go for it.
Well, I'll tell you my first deer. I'd hunted with a 410, single shot 410. And I think I'd missed probably five or six deer on our lease. We had a lease up in Work County, West Virginia, and I missed deer left and right with it. And finally, for Christmas, my dad got me a single shot 243. So the first year hunting out with that, we hunted all morning, didn't see a single deer. And so we got back to camp, and across the camp set right beside a big open CRP field. And out about 200 yards, a big yearling hopped out and was hopping through the field. So I grabbed my gun and I ran out across that field and I gut shot this yearling. I offhanded it. First deer I ever gut shot. I gut shot it. And it ran about 200 yards and we tracked blood for hours and I was so discouraged. And when we finally found it, I'll never forget that hunt. It was the most exciting day of my life, just finding a yearling. But I finally, after missing four and five deer at a time, I finally was able to knock one down.
That's awesome.
I guess probably most one of my remember will be my first deer. I was hunting with my cousin, and he's several years older than me, and he took me out that morning with him instead of going with my dad or my grandpa. And he actually shot a deer and was tracking it, and he told me to sit still, not to move, just went through all the safety stuff. And as he was tracking that deer, one of my other family members actually shot on the next ridge over, and I heard something running, and I looked up, and this big old 8-point just popped up in front of me. And I was using a 20-gauge shotgun, and I shot the deer in the neck, and it dropped in its tracks. And my cousin started hollering, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yes, I'm fine." He said, "Did you shoot one?" I said, "Yes."
You were just saying you shot him in the neck, and your cousin was hollering to you?
Yeah, and I shot him in the neck, and my cousin was hollering at me, and he said, "Did you shoot a doe?" And I said, "No, it's a buck." But when he got up there and realized what I shot, he grabbed a hold of it and was more excited than probably what I was at the time, being a kid. Nice. And he grabbed that thing, got excited, and we took him off the hill, and we showed my grandpa and waited for my dad to get home and showed him. And my neighbor actually mounted the deer for free.
Wow. So,
it was pretty memorable hunt. I was 10 years old at the time. That was in 1997.
Wow, that's awesome. Did since then, have you, like, you know, tried to kind of measure or guesstimate or anything on, like, how much it actually scored?
No, I've never actually have a deer scored until last year, and that was my biggest buck last year, and it was a 20-point.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah, the scoring thing, I mean, the inches doesn't make any difference to me at this point in my hunting career, but but
hey, it's kind of I'm all about if it gets the heart going and you're into it, then let her fly.
Yeah, absolutely. But it kind of makes me interested sometimes, you know, like you see pictures of deer and, you know, I kind of wonder, I'm like, well, I wonder what that would score, you know, or something like that. So, but that's pretty awesome. Get a good buck first deer.
Yeah, really. Anybody out there listening, don't expect that to happen all the time. Usually it's years before you get your first good buck.
Yeah, exactly. That's like pretty cool.
The first buck I ever killed, we were hunting a buddy's farm up in Jackson County, West Virginia. And I was still young enough. I was hunting beside my dad, and he had kind of dozed off. And I seen a little 5-point coming down the holler below us. And when the deer was picking, well, I guess when I shot, the deer had turned its head and was looking away. And I shot it in the base of the neck, and the bullet ran through and split his rack off. Well, it dropped and didn't move. Well, it woke my dad up, and he was like, "What the heck did you just shoot?" And I was like, "I think I just shot a good buck." Well, we couldn't see it from there. So, again, I'm thinking, oh, I missed another deer. Finally went down there, and it was barely a 5-point. It was more like a spike with a couple kickers coming off.
Right.
And I remember being so upset because I couldn't even skull mount it because I split his rack in half.
Yeah. That's crazy how it did that. I guess it was just the angle.
Yeah, well, it's just right when he turned his head, I was aiming for that shoulder, and when he turned his head, it just ran right up the neck.
Wow. Yeah, the one I shot is a 7-point. Kind of had like a little funky little kicker on one side, and then the other side had like a knob where it never came out. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. Even for a small buck, it'll get you pretty excited.
What state was that in?
That's in Florida.
Okay, you're hunting down in Florida?
Yep, I'm in Northeast Florida, kind of the Jacksonville area.
So you do a lot of turkey hunting down there?
I try to. Yeah, we have one of the main places I hunt is a little further south, and so we have the Osceolas down here, kind of like this side. And
I've always wanted to come turkey hunt Osceolas. I've seen it all on YouTube and TV. That looks like some fun turkey hunting down there in Florida.
Yeah, the first one I ever killed was a really good one. Had like an 11-inch beard and the whole deal, and it was a perfect hunt. I just had a box call. I can't do much with a mouth call yet, and you know, like literally just called him in, just like, you know, what I saw on YouTube and what I read and all that, and it all worked out kind of as planned. And man, that was something else to see him come in spitting and drumming and strutting and, you know, just to be able to get a good one the first time around on the turkey. That was truly beginner's luck.
I bet. That sounds awesome. Yeah. When you get a long beard coming in, spitting and drumming, strutting like that, it's hard to compare. It's hard to compare to whitetail hunting, but it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I agree. It's a different deal to like call and answer and hear it closer and
you're actually,
especially when they're close enough, you can actually feel them drum. You can feel the gobble in your chest. That's what gets me going.
Yeah. When you're actually communicating back with the bird and talking to him like that, that's one of the most exciting things you can do in the hunting woods.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the coolest things, you know. I was kind of like, yeah, let's try this turkey hunting thing. And after that, I was like, I'm a turkey hunter.
Yep. It's easy to get hooked turkey hunting.
Yeah. And which that buck I shot, you know, I grunted to him and he came right to me. So that was pretty cool as far as like, you know, calling to a deer. But, you know, not the same thing as that turkey hunt.
Yeah.
A little different ball game. Have y'all gone anywhere else turkey hunting yet, or mostly just stayed up that way?
I've never turkey hunted out of state yet, but after we've scouted some of this land in Ohio, I definitely plan on turkey hunting in Ohio and maybe trying to get down to Kentucky. And then, but Mainly here, we're just hunting these mountain turkeys, and it's a different kind of turkey hunting than what you watch on the TV and stuff. Yeah. I know it's probably a lot different than turkey hunting them Osceolas up here. It's a lot of hiking. Them birds, they're never down in the low parts of these fields. They're when that daylight hits, you better be on the highest ridge because that's where the birds are going to be roosted.
They're usually on the highest ridge or the bench just below the ridge because they roost, fly on the roost off the top of the ridge and land on those benches. So it's definitely a lot of steep country up here.
And it's almost next to impossible to call one of the turkeys downhill. They'll get right to the edge, and if they can look over and they don't see what's calling to them, it's next to impossible to get them to come over that lip and come down to you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you spend a lot of early mornings hiking up that mountain as fast as you can to get up there before daylight and get set up, because you know sooner or later there's going to be a bird fire up on top of that ridge.
Yeah, I can imagine, and that's definitely not something I work with here. I mean, it's flat as could be. And here they'll kind of a lot of them will they'll roost out over like a swamp or a lake or something.
Yeah,
I guess they'll try to get over the water. They feel safer or something. But it's definitely no hiking up a mountain early in the morning. So
yeah,
I count that as a blessing.
But I'd say the flat ground probably has its advantages in it, and it's probably hard in its own ways too. I know, like out here at least, when you got a bird coming from a long way off, when you're on the ridge tops, you can get on the backside and keep yourself from getting skyline, and usually get within a pretty close range and get set up. I'm sure down on that flat country, it's hard to make moves on birds when they're out there in the open like that.
That's true. If you're setting up on a field edge, they can see forever. So yeah, you can't get away with much.
Yeah. Yeah. At least up here on these ridges, you can kind of do a little spot and stalking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's my experience is definitely not like that here, but I'm sure people use all kinds of tactics, but that's awesome. I enjoy the turkey hunting too. So that's pretty cool. Jumping back over to deer hunting though. Is there anything like with scouting? Do y'all run a lot of trail cameras and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. On our home private farms, I run a lot of trail cameras, and then Justin just met in person last Thursday, but we had been messaging on Instagram back and forth throughout the summer and fall, and we finally, our vacation days kind of lined up, so we decided we were going to jump over and hunt Ohio Public, and we found a pretty good spot on X, so we dove in and hung up a couple cameras. But for the most part, when on the public land side of things, we were kind of just going off of just sign and how fresh it was and then diving in and hunting. But on the private land, I definitely like to run trail cameras.
Yep. I run I've got three different properties I hunt, and I probably run at least 2 to 3 cameras on each property. So,
okay.
And mostly, speaking for myself, I can't speak for Justin on this, but I run trail cameras more or less just to take inventory. I'm not running them very hard to pattern a deer. I just like to know what's in the area and what bucks I want to chase after and stuff. I'm not huge on the deer management of holding out till bucks, 5.5, 160, but I definitely like to go after the biggest buck on the farm and try to let the little ones walk.
Yeah, no doubt. And those private places where y'all are going, what's kind of the acreage? Are they pretty big or small or in between?
My main farm I'm hunting is about 250 acres, but it's surrounded by another 1,000 acres of different private that's not really hunted. So,
gotcha.
All of mine are small lots, 30 acres probably a piece, I'd say.
Okay, cool. I'm always curious that the buck I shot this year was on about 6 acres. My wife's grandparents just got a little tiny little piece. But
thing about West Virginia too is, like, when you hunt here, everybody hunts. You know what I mean? It's a state where it's very heavily pressured.
Yeah, and if somebody doesn't hunt, if somebody's not hunting a property, it's 99% of the time that the landowner doesn't let anybody hunt it. So,
right.
But I tell people all the time too, people are always looking for big acreage farms, which are nice to have. But if you can find 5 or 6 acres in the right spot, then you can get a lot done on small parcels like that if you can get it on the right spot and get set up where you need to be.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as long as the deer come through there, you can catch them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know guys that have killed giant deer out here in West Virginia on 5 and 6 acres, or they got a little bit of timber in the backyard, and they'll go out there and put out one camera and get a giant on it and kill it.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Would you say y'all primarily bow hunt or whatever's in season, or?
Well, I know out here in West Virginia, bow season starts at the end of September and runs all the way till the Monday of Thanksgiving, that week. So yeah, primarily I bow hunt a lot, but that Thanksgiving week, I definitely bring out the rifle because I like to call it the great equalizer. You can reach out there and touch them from a long way when you got that rifle, but yep. I'd much rather be in the woods with the old stick and string. I just think it adds a whole new aspect of enjoyment and challenge to the hunt.
After rifle season's over, it runs up until January 1st. I usually bring the bow back out and go back out hunting if I'm not tagged out already.
I got you. What kind of bow setups do y'all have?
I've got the Matthews VXR, the 31.5. That's Matthews' flagship bow from 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is my second year hunting with that bow, and I've been blessed enough to take a couple deer with it. And then setup-wise, I'm just running the Carbon Express Maxima Red arrows. I've kind of got a heavier arrow set up because I'm drawing 80 pounds, so I like to be able to shoot as heavy arrow and a 125-grain Schwacker. I like shooting heavy arrows just because your room for error can be a little bit more. If you got to tuck one into a shoulder blade or something, you can be a little bit more confident with it.
Gotcha.
I've got a Elite Impulse 31. No special arrows. I do like the Grim Reaper Whitetail 2 broadheads. I've had very good luck out of those, so they're in my quiver, and that's what I use. I've had great luck out of them, and I've taken quite a few deer with them so far.
Hey, that's a good thing. Put them to the test.
I know you're just starting off really into hunting, so are you bow hunting a lot, or are you more into the gun hunting side of things?
Yep, so so far this year, I took the bow out. I don't remember exactly how many sits it was, but pretty much the whole bow season every time I got a chance. And then I took the black powder out, and that's what I killed the buck with the muzzle loader. But I'm definitely looking to do more and more on the bow hunting, and I was as prepared as I could be this year. Just didn't happen during our bow season, but I'm looking to definitely lean that way. I really enjoyed shooting and practicing with the bow, so I want to put it to use.
Yeah, like I said, it definitely brings a new element of having to get it within range of them and make that perfect shot, and just hours and hours and hours of practice and repetition. But when you finally release a perfect arrow on one, that, don't get me wrong, it's fun killing them with a gun, it's fun being successful anytime you're hunting, but when you can knock one down with a bow, it's
getting up close and personal with the deer and being able to draw back your bow and everything and not get busted. And once you do make it, it's really rewarding.
see, he said that because he's throwing shade at me. This morning, we actually, he was self-filming me on my home farm here in West Virginia, and we actually had a stud of a 10-point come in bumping does.
Oh, and, wow.
The doe picked us off. She was about 15 yards from us. The big 10 was 30 yards, and she picked us off, me grabbing my bow. And when the buck kind of boogered out to about 35, and when I drew back, they got a little nervous and bumped out of there, but they weren't spooked too bad. So we're actually gearing up. We're going to go back in and set this evening and see if they won't come back in.
I gotcha. Yeah, I can see the challenge there, you know, but because you try not to move, but then, you know, to draw your bow, you got to move. So it's kind of like.
Yeah, especially when you got 2 and 3 sets of eyes looking at you, because two does that came in and they worked off over the bank. So we could hear what sounded like a buck bumping a doe down below us. But I didn't even think to go ahead and get my bow up. I'll admit I was kind of unprepared, and they got on us quick. So when she picked us off, it was pretty much over from there. There was not too much we could do.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, good luck this afternoon on that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, my main goals, like, for this deer hunting season, number one was to kill a buck, and then number two was probably to kill one with a bow. So it's still on the list, and maybe at some point later in the season I'll bring the bow back out and give it another shot.
When does Florida's bow season come in? What's the start date of your all's bow season?
The bow season this year started, I'll get the exact day wrong. It's like September 17th, something like that.
Okay, so that's not too far before ours. Ours was September 25th this year.
Okay, but then our muzzleloader came in. It's like a 2-week, and that was like somewhere like first, well, not first of November, end of October, like October 25th, I think.
Yeah. So,
and then now rifle is actually open in my zone. So it's, so they don't have like an actual designated like late bow season or anything like that. But, most places, especially private, you can use a bow if you want, you know, later in season.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of, those are kind of my big goals. So I've got the one marked off, and so we'll kind of see how it goes.
Yeah, when you get that first one with the bow, it's a whole different feeling. It's awesome.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward to it. The only thing, I'm not going to use my bow. I'm actually going to visit my brother up in Virginia, and I'm probably going to use a rifle up there, like second week of December, and. So that one I'm kind of throwing out the window just to see, because a small buck up there would be huge. So for me, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a lot of buddies that hunt over in Virginia, and it's a lot like here. Your majority going to be up in the mountain country, but it's good hunting, especially if you got a gun with you. You can cover a lot more area when you got a gun with you.
Yep, exactly. And I know he doesn't care the first thing about the antlers. And he's killed some big deer just getting out there. So I'm excited to give that a try. That'll be the first time I've ever been out of state too. So
yeah, that'll be a fun trip.
Yep. Definitely looking forward to that one. You know, I asked about, you know, trail cameras and stuff. Is there anything else as far as like a tactic? I know you said you look for sign and kind of set up on it. I guess it changes as the season goes on, but is there something that your favorite thing to find? You know, is it a trail or a scrape or a rub? Or
my favorite thing to find this time of year, because our rut action is going on right now, is a active scrape. And if you can find an active scrape that you know that a deer has been using, it's probably one of the best tools there is this time of year to hunt off of. I mean, those deer are going to come in and check that. Now, you get into the stages the later rut where they start locking down or not focusing on more on the does, they'll end up coming back and working that scrape, but probably got a little more something else on their mind at this point in time of the year.
Yep.
And pre-rut, in the beginning of the season, I like to just find the natural travel corridors, the pinch point areas. And if you especially if you've got a couple years experience on property, you can kind of start to figure that out. But like this new farm I'm hunting, I got permission on it right after turkey season. So I kind of just dove in head first and running trail cameras early in the summer. And I was able to find some good travel corridors and pinch points. And then, watering areas. If you got a property with a pond on it and a bedding area close, that's always a great place to key in on. There's going to be definitely does traveling through there, and there's probably going to be a couple bucks. And then, out here, oak ridges, if you can find a good long oak ridge, especially this time of the year when these bucks are cruising looking for does, that's my number one thing, because if you can find those, then you're going to find scrapes and rubs on it, almost a guarantee. So you can key on a big oak ridge with a couple flats on it, and you can get set up with the right wind, then I've had my best luck on spots like that.
And this being your first year deer hunting too, or that's another thing. I don't know how the wind is in Florida, mm-hmm. but if you know where the direction the deer are going to be coming from, you don't want your wind going into that area, because those deer will pick you off before you even know that you're even around.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I've been checking. Like every time I go hunting is check the wind first and think about where I've seen them come from. So
here in West Virginia though, our wind sucks. I mean, it could blow one direction 1 second and then another right after that.
Yeah. Well, you use these apps that'll tell you, you know, deer movement, deer winds. And like just the other day in Ohio, we were supposed to have a south southwest wind, and we finally got set up in a spot, and as soon as we got set up and it started to break daylight, it swirled directly northeast, right where we thought the deer were going to come from. So especially when you're up here in this mountainous kind of country, when you get down in the bottom, that wind gets in there and just swirls and swirls. So the best time in this kind of country is, if when you want to hunt in the bottom, is wait till the wind's real calm and just use your thermals. But I'd say in Florida, where it's so flat, it's hard to play the thermals like that.
Yeah, I think probably the wind direction itself is probably the way to play it. But I think it's a little more predictable here. I've heard about it kind of swirling, you know, like that in like a holler or a bottom or whatever.
Yeah, it's hard to predict, and you just kind of got to get lucky with it.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you guys do? Do y'all use like some lock-on or hang-on stands or saddles or climbers, or what kind of setup do y'all use on that?
I'm kind of a my setup is like a Swiss Army knife. I've got ladder stands set up. I love a good comfortable lock on. You can get it in the right place. But then this year I actually purchased the tethered saddle, the Phantom, and I've been using that, and I can't say enough about that. I love that thing. The more I hunt out of it, the more I'm thinking about selling my lock-ons and just buying sticks and only hunting out of the saddle, just because of the usability and the lightweight, and you can get in. And then that's what we actually hung a stand on the public in Ohio. We only took one of them, and I actually got above Justin here in the saddle and was filming him. So it's just nice when you're, especially when you can pivot around a tree and stay hidden from the deer.
Yeah. You can fit,
and you know. You have no blind spots, really. You can shoot 360 if you practice enough, and you can get around the tree.
Yeah,
that's but I know Justin. He's a big ladder stand kind of guy, and I'll let him tell you about it.
Yeah, I'm a big boy. I weigh 300 pounds, and I really prefer a ladder stand. More comfortable on me, and I don't have to worry about equipment failure either, because you know these lock-ons. I've had people weigh 140 pounds and the cables broke on them. So I still wear a safety harness, and I think everybody should, because in 2010 I fell out of a tree stand. So everything makes me cautious and nervous.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's one thing. That's one thing we both preach is tree stand safety. I think sometimes people hunt out of a stand a couple times and they get real comfortable in it, and they kind of shy away from the safety aspect. But all it takes is a squirrel to chew a strap or strap to bust, and it can be a bad day, and the last thing you want to do is get hurt while you're out hunting. So I preach the safety lines to people all the time. You can pick them up for like 25-30 bucks, and you're tied off all the way up the tree. That's the best way to go. I have them on all my lock-on stands, just because,
right,
you go out hunting to enjoy it, and the last thing you're thinking about is going out there and getting hurt. So you got to stay safe.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's a lot of the places I hunt. I have the, you know, some preset, you know, ladder stands and that type of thing. But definitely good to think about, you know, keeping the safety in the forefront.
Yeah. Yep. That's one thing I've always tried to do is make sure I'm tied off and safe, especially when you get up top to the tree, because People think 15 feet ain't a long way, but when you land flat on your back, I'm sure it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. Trust me.
Yeah, well, Justin knows from personal experience.
Yeah, I haven't fell out of one, but I can only imagine.
Yeah. Yep.
It leaves you stoved up for a long time if you're lucky.
Yeah, I imagine that. I'd say I definitely have had a foot slip climbing up a ladder or something like that. And
oh, yeah.
Make you think twice.
Yeah, get your heart going real quick.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool. So I know you said the rifle season or whatever goes through like January 1st.
Our rifle season actually only runs the week of Thanksgiving. So this year it'll be from the 22nd to the, well, actually it's 2 weeks. So it'll be from the November 22nd till whenever the end of that second week, whatever
December
that.
Something.
Yeah.
Right.
I think December 1st. And then you've got our season runs out January 4th, I want to say this year. And that's bow only until there's 1 week where West Virginia has a heritage season. So that would be anything like pretty much like a musket, any kind of muzzleloader without a scope on it, anything like that.
Recurve.
Okay. Yeah, recurve bow. But so usually out here, like he was saying earlier, a lot of hunting pressure. So at that time of the year, if you don't have a huge chunk of private that you're not pressuring, it's hard to get a deer killed on that kind of,
gotcha,
in that time of the year. Cause usually when that orange army comes out and then bullets start flying, they start running for their life.
I hear you. you mentioned the tethered saddle and, talked about a little bit about the bow setups and stuff. Is there any other, gear specifically that y'all really like or use, or something that's come in handy for you?
Mainly not really.
One piece of equipment I could say would be a rangefinder. Always carry your rangefinder if you have one.
Yeah, and a good set of binoculars.
I don't use a rangefinder when a deer is coming in. I just range stuff in the general direction I know the deer are going to come. And give me an idea. That way I have a reference to shoot at. That way I'm not making that extra movement when the time comes.
I'd say the number one piece of equipment for me that I like to have is always a good, solid hunting backpack. Because especially when you're self-filming, you're going to carry a lot of equipment in
That's
there.
True.
And you need a good, solid backpack with pockets and places to strap stuff to. So I actually saved up some money and bought a whole QU loadout, hunting clothes, and a good backpack. So far it's done me well. But I would say a good hunting backpack, and you don't even have to go out and spend a lot of money, but just a good set of binoculars where you can definitely do some glassing and you can tell what you're going to shoot at before you shoot it. There's always a big piece of
a pack is gear. Definitely a must, especially any type of hunter, because you can carry your knives, all your hunting gear in there. And if you're like us, we work, so when we get home from work or whatever, we'll go and just grab our packs and hit the woods, so we know everything we need's in there. So that is a big,
well, I guess I'd to add on to that too, especially out here hiking these mountains, is a good pair of hunting boots. Because it's easy, it's real quick, your feet will get sore out here hiking these ridge tops. So, a good pair of boots. And then, old Stubby said toilet paper. That's always something you want to go in the woods with.
Yep. Good to have.
Yeah. My philosophy on taking anything into the woods is, first, you don't want to be overpacked. But I always had a saying, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So.
Yeah, there you go.
So I don't load my backpack down with too much gear, but I like to have extra phone batteries and extra knives and anything like that you might need.
Yeah, definitely good advice. I'm working on my pack situation.
And then another product that Justin just started using this year that we've kind of had some good success with was the Buck Wild synthetics, like he said, this time of year keying on scrapes. But a lot of times we like to transition our trail cameras from bait pile, like from corn piles and feeding areas to mock scrapes, because that's the best way to kind of get on a pattern of these big bucks or see what they're doing. So he's been using the Buck Wild synthetics, some orbital scent, trying to get these mock scrapes, and so far he's had some pretty good success with it. So
okay. Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, the scents are something I've kind of got into, is actually working on, mock scrapes or things like that, trying to actually give that a shot. And I've seen a little bit of success with that too. So that's cool.
You can start a mock scrape in the summertime.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, they won't work it like they will late in the year like they do now, but it's still an inventory check. If there's a deer coming by, even a doe or a yearling will actually check a mock scrape. I mean, it's just the scent thing to them. They're curious animals. They're going to come in and check it out.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like a communication tool for them. They'll get in there and if you get a licking branch, they'll rub their orbital glands and their forehead glands on it, and that's how they'll communicate, knowing what deer is in the area.
And if you are making a mock scrape, you want your limb to be about chest high, and you want to make the scrape big enough for the deer to get a visual on it. You know, you don't want to make something small. You want something 3-4 foot around. That way the deer actually gets a visual of what it is, so they know what it is to come and check it out.
Okay, cool. Good to know. One thing I want to give you guys a chance. Is there anything y'all want to talk about as far as what you have with your different pages and your YouTube channels and all that stuff? Just what folks can check out or what folks can expect, and where you do your most posting or whatever, whether it be Instagram or YouTube or Facebook or whatever.
Well, for me, you can follow me on Instagram at @the304_outdoors. That's where I do the majority of my posting. I have a Facebook, but somehow I got locked out of it. So I'm working to get back into that, and I'm going to do a lot more posting there. Yep. And then I got my YouTube is just 304 Outdoors. Got some content on there now, but here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a lot of content coming out on that channel. And then, anybody listening, go give us a like, go subscribe. Like I said, a lot of content coming soon. I've got some content out there, but we've got a lot of footage that needs edited and put together. We're going to have some cool videos coming out here soon.
Yeah, awesome. I'm on just about all the social media platforms. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Saw Stubby's Outdoors. Just get on there and check it out. Subscribe to the channel. I just like to get out there and have fun, man. And I also have another page. It's called Stubby's Outdoors and Friends on Facebook, and that's for everybody. Anybody can get on there and post whatever they want to, as long as it be respectful and just to get out there and have fun. I mean, that's what I enjoy. I enjoy it. I enjoy other people posting stuff and seeing it. I just love the outdoors.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's, I totally agree. It's, to me, I love just going on and seeing the deer that other people are killing or other people have on trail camera or whatever. It's
absolutely,
it's exciting. Good for them.
Yeah. I enjoy it. Whether it's your first deer or you just went out there and you killed a 190-inch buck, I'm excited for you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on today, taking a little time out of your day where y'all getting ready to go back out hunting and everything. So good luck this afternoon, and I appreciate it. Anything else y'all want to add today?
No, we're good. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thanks.
Like we said, we'd appreciate people just go on, check out the social media. Give it a like, subscribe, and then good luck to you. I hope you have success in Virginia. If you do, shoot us a message. I'd like to see if you get anything down, and then
or any questions you have, you want to ask us. Just getting started, I'm more than happy to help you out. I don't care.
Cool. Yeah, we
no professionals, but we probably got some pretty good info.
Yeah. We both kind of. I just like to see people get out and enjoy it, especially when they're kind of new into it. I like hunting's kind of in the grand scheme of things, hunting's kind of a dying sport. You got less and less people doing it every year. So when you see people getting out and trying it and having success and having fun with it, I like to see that just as much as I like to shoot a deer myself.
That's awesome. I definitely appreciate that, especially as a pretty much a new hunter. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate, the offer to ask for some advice. So if I have any questions along the way, I might just shoot them your way.
Absolutely.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Thank you for having us on.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good afternoon.
You too.
Thanks to everybody who's tuned in and listened to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast today. We really appreciate the support. Really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate those who've gone on and left us rating and review on iTunes. That especially helps. And those who've actually subscribed, we appreciate that as well. Thanks for listening. If you're just dropping by and listening, but thanks for subscribing and supporting what we've got going on. And special thanks to RJ and Justin for joining me. And I really enjoyed talking with those guys. And they've got some cool stuff going on up there in West Virginia. So we appreciate them, and we appreciate you guys as well. And we're just looking forward to the rest of hunting season. Congrats to everybody who's killed a hit lister or at least put some meat in the freezer. We're excited to have some in the freezer right here in Florida, as I killed my first buck a few weeks ago. So I'm still excited, and it was awesome. So thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for listening, and I hope y'all have a successful rest of the season and a great day. And if you're at work thinking about hunting, join the club. That's why it's called the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. We want to be hunting. As always, guys, honor God, work hard, and keep hunting.